Eileen Dalabrito, we appreciate you taking some time to join us on The Green this week to talk about the state of malls here in the First States. And before we talk about what's happening locally, can you give us a little sense in broad terms of just how sharp the divide is between the mall haves and the mall have-nots right now?
Well, the mall haves, and those are the Class A malls that have the big retailers and the wonderful mix of restaurants and entertainers, they're only about 20% of malls, the top fifth, but they are taking in 75% of the revenue, which means the lower 80% of malls have a scant 25% to divvy up.
Which is a pretty big divide. What's driving this divide? What do these, as we're calling them, have malls have that draws shoppers and allows them to dominate the market in such a way?
Well, for one thing, they are full. They have full occupancy or mostly full occupancy. So they just have a lot more attractions, and they tend to have the good stores, the top stores, the places that people want to be, like Apple.
On the opposite side, what are some of the issues that these smaller malls are facing right now to stay viable? What's kind of putting them in that lower tier?
Well, if you don't have critical mass, if people are walking by empty storefronts, it's really hard to remain competitive. It's like walking into a restaurant and there's nobody there, and you think, golly, where's the hum? Shouldn't there be some other people here?
And you mentioned in your piece the vacancy rate is driven not just, you know, in part on of what's happening at these individual malls, but there's other options. And we've talked about this before. There's other places for stores to go. Is that also kind of part of this dynamic that they're not just, you know, competing with other malls? They're competing with other places that stores can go to and may find more attractive.
Yeah, I mean, so many of these factors are out of the control of the people who operate malls, that shoppers are showing a tendency towards lifestyle centers where they can do a lot more than shop. And also they have no control over various bankruptcies of retailers, that it's just a very challenging time for retailers. And if the chain that happens to be in your mall goes out of business, you're going to have an empty storefront, and you need to find somebody else to fill it.
And do strip malls come into play here too? Like, some of them have vacancies, and perhaps they're cheaper or more attractive to businesses than a mall like Dover Mall at this point?
A strip mall, in terms of cost for the retailer, is way less expensive than being in a mall and paying those common fees and a percentage of your what you make. And it's also has some level of attractiveness to consumers who want to park the car, get out of the car, dash in, get whatever they need, and head on down the road.
Let's bring it to the local level. The two malls locally that have issues are Dover and Concord Malls. Both announced some plans to get on track about 2 years ago. Let's start with Dover. What did they want to do, and what's going on there right now?
Well, Dover wanted to promote ready access to the mall with an access road from Route 1, and they promoted a public-private partnership that would speed up that process, which is pretty far down on the Del Dot list of construction. And also, they showcased plans for a 50,000-plus square foot addition to the mall and an adjoining power center. None of those have come to fruition, and the whole road enhancement, first it went on the back burner, and then the burner got turned off.
So at this juncture, they're kind of in stall mode. How about Concord Mall? What were they looking to do, and where do things stand there?
Concord has a great location, not far over the Pennsylvania line, and they had planned to do a lot of things that were successful at Christiana and other malls that have had really successful turnarounds, to add more lifestyle type things, entertainment, make part of an open air center. But none of that has happened either.
So is there a concern for these malls as they search for this path forward and try to kickstart any plans that they have that things will get kind of so bad in the interim that it'll essentially be too late, that, as you kind of alluded to earlier, that people see empty stores, they see low traffic, and they just say, there's just no reason to go to these malls anymore?
Well, it's a real challenge, and this is something that isn't just a local problem. It's something that we're seeing at malls all over the country. Signet, the world's largest jewelry retailer, they're the parent company of Zales, Kay, and mm-hmm. Jared Jewelers. They're closing 150 mall-based stores and have announced that all their new locations will be in non-mall settings. They want lower rent, and in the malls where they're remaining, they're asking for a better deal. It's a very challenging time for this particular retail model.
So with that in mind, that kind of uphill struggle they face, is there anything Dover or Concord could do to duplicate, say, what's happened at Christiana Mall, follow the kind of blueprint for success there, or is that, you know, kind of so you have to have a unique set of circumstances to make that work that maybe doesn't translate to a Dover Mall or a Concord Mall?
I think that perhaps there isn't enough room in a market as small as that for too many super malls. I mean, you have Christiana, you have King of Prussia, but it's not the sort of thing that you have on every corner. And being first in the market is a big deal. It's a big leg up. But then again, Christiana Mall was in really bad shape not that long ago, and they did manage to turn things around in spectacular fashion.
But they, as you said, had that kind of first mover advantage that, you know, maybe gave them the opportunity that isn't, as you said, there for others now so close by.
Yes, that's a problem.
So how about elsewhere? I mean, are there other malls? We talked about Christiana, but are there others elsewhere that have made changes that have worked that maybe could be duplicated at Dover or Concord malls that maybe aren't following the same path that Christiana Mall took? And would that perhaps involve some kind of radical reimagining of what you're seeing at these spaces currently?
Yes, there have been a number of really successful transformations of malls into something that doesn't involve shopping anymore. in Rhode Island, there the Providence Arcade Mall is now, it's a mixed-use development. There are shops, restaurants, small businesses on the first level, and micro-loft apartments on the second story. In Tennessee, Vanderbilt University's Medical Center took over half the mall with a clinic and a waiting room and offices, and the other half remained shopping space. And in Arlington, Virginia, what once was a mall is now a real lifestyle center, mixed-use development that has really become the heart of the neighborhood, the place where people gather.
That seems like some of those ideas, you know, could work at particularly a place like Concord Mall, where there's already kind of a population density there. Dover Mall might be a little bit different, but it does sound like there are some intriguing options if you have to really kind of reimagine things.
There really are. I mean, you have these large blocks of space. You have these companies that are highly experienced in development, and a lot of smart people in there. So it won't be the same, but it doesn't mean that there aren't opportunities there.
And the one thing you do note is that the bulk of transactions retail-wise are still being made in stores as opposed to online, even though a lot of people talk about how Amazon is taking over everything. Does that statistic, the fact that there's still people going out to stores and shopping in large quantities, offer some hope that there's still time for some of these malls? Or is the mall, perhaps, the mall model, as we knew it, really kind of a fading or dying breed, unless you're a big center like King of Prussia or Christiana?
Yeah, I think that the era of having a mall in every significant community is over. And I do think that it will evolve into these regional powerhouses. I mean, I talked to an Airbnb host in Wilmington who has people come 4 or 5 times a year, and they're visiting from Europe, and they want to see New York and Philadelphia and Washington, D.C. And while they're here, they stop and they stay in Delaware because they want to shop at Christiana. I mean, that's how much of a powerhouse it has become. It's very interesting. That said, there have been other challenges to stores, and I found this very interesting. That back in the as late as the 1990s, catalog shopping was really hammering bricks and mortar, and they were thinking, "Oh, what are we going to do? Everybody's buying from catalogs." Well, they survived that. And I think that the smart retailers are going to survive online shopping as well.
Eileen Dalbrader, we really appreciate the reporting. We appreciate the insights. Thank you so much for joining us on The Green.
Good to be here, Tom.